Smiling Faces, the podcast, is a proud member of the Defiantly Me Productions. To learn more about Defiantly Me Productions, visit Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions. Welcome back to episode 12 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, the newest soon-to-be hit pilot comedy we are producing about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and living your best life.
And as always,
let's get into it.
Yes. I actually cannot venture to say this week that we can proclaim living our best life. It's been a bit of a week.
Best is a stretch. I would say we're living a life.
A life filled with smoke and packing
ash.
Bags. Yeah. Awful air quality. Mike, how about you?
Yeah,
what's happening down there in your neck of the woods with the fires? Yes, you're right. We should be. For anyone
context,
who doesn't know.
Nothing is
If
happening.
Someone doesn't know for some reason, LA's on fire.
Yes. We.
If you weren't privy.
I think at one point there were like 7 fires and we were in the middle of all of them. Just.
Honestly. And they were naming them in a way that was strange. Like there'd be Sunset Fire and then Hearst and then Kenneth. I was like, what is Kenneth?
What's a Kenneth?
Is that a thing?
Well, and then.
Yeah. They named a fire Kenneth, which confused me.
Well,
I thought it was the park by me.
Ah.
Oh,
weird. Yeah.
Because the park is called Kenneth Park. But...
That would freak me out. Yeah. The reason I was asking because on the East Coast, they named the hurricanes. So, like, is that a thing when fires come along, they name the fires those particular names?
It's
is
weird.
It like a
I've
database?
Been here, I've been Who here a decade, but I've that? Never noticed that trend. But it seems like maybe that's the case because they were popping up. Some were locational based. Thank you,
I'll
producer Mike.
Of course.
So it was Palisades Fire, Eden Fire, which those make sense because that's the area of town. Mm-hmm. But then once you said Kenneth, I was very confused.
Oh, yeah. And then there was the sun. Was it sunset?
Sunset.
And then there was a sun west? Like sun
west
fire?
There was
west a sun
fire? West fire?
Yeah. Oh. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. There were a lot. Basically, it's been honestly very, very tragic, very difficult. We were all, I mean, there's very few people in Los Angeles that weren't affected in some way or another. We had been standing by to evacuate all the way up until Wednesday of this week. So yeah, up until about 2 days ago, we were standing by to evacuate because of the winds.
I have an
Fair,
answer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Thank you.
It says most often the name is determined by the initial attack incident commander or fire dispatcher. So there's really no, it's not like hurricanes where they go in this particular order and it's got to be, it's a girl name or a boy name or something like that. So there is no, it's just whoever gets there first, tag, you're it.
I would venture to say that part of that too is you can see a hurricane coming for a while, so you have a minute to think about it. When you've got a wildfire, there's no time. That's it. This is happening. Wildfires are happening, and it's time to run. Nobody has time to be like, I wonder what we should call this. They're like, where's it happening? In the Palisades? It's the Palisades fire.
That's the one. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think there was some, I've been on TikTok way too much, which fingers crossed it stays. But the amount of things I've been seeing on TikTok, there was a guy that I guess had a vantage point of where the Palisades fire started, and he saw a small fire early January, like 6 days prior to when it actually broke out. And they said that's actually a scientific phenomenon where it can be burning like the soil underground and then swell up later. So they're like, 6 days of burning underground, that's not a thing. And all these scientists popped in to the comments and were like, no, that's actually common. So he peeped that from a long time ago.
Well, I have to say, first of all, I did not realize that there was a fire burning underground, and that's what started the Palisades fire. That's, well, I mean, I guess there's, you know, there's a lot going on underground that we don't know about, but I would, yeah. And I will say, like, there's so many ways that people have been affected. And we also, we can provide some resources that people have been asking about as far as how to help. You know, really, it's, everybody's like, you got to look out for those, the GoFundMes and the, you know, these kind of scammy, yeah, you really want to go with the legitimate organizations if you want to help, and we can provide those resources. However, one of the ways that's it's hitting hard is production is shutting down again. Television production and movie production is shutting down, which is really, it's hard to think, oh no, you know, we have natural disaster, people are losing their houses. However, this industry, the entertainment industry, is taking another blow, which is a tough pill to swallow. Yeah.
There's, consistent setbacks. It's hard because, of course, like you said, people are losing their homes. I think everybody knows a person, if not multiple people, that have lost everything. But already a lot of the people that are affected, because even some of the fires are, especially like the Eden fire and fires up north, are affecting the people, like crew members and stuff. So people that have been trying to bide their time, holding out for, you know, things to change and get better. It was first COVID, and then it was back-to-back strikes. And then there was the promise of, well, 2025, like, you just got to hang on to 2025, and immediately fires all over LA. So it's like, I don't know how much more people can take, honestly. It builds resilience, of course, but after a while, your spirit just gets a little broken and you feel like the weight of it around LA. But I don't know what it's going to take for people to kind of pull back up from that. Now, I will say, I saw a post on Crew Stories IG, which is a great Instagram account to follow because it's always stories of people on different production crews and stuff. But when the fires were breaking out, there was a crew member that said, because again, we're talking about this desperation for work, that they were filming something the days that the fires were getting really bad, but were forced to still come in and film that day, not knowing if their houses would be there when they got back home, but also couldn't turn down the work because they needed it so bad because there's been so little production work. And then begged people not to say anything specific about what they said because they were afraid that they wouldn't have a job tomorrow to come back to, regardless of whether they had a home. It's that bad.
Well, I have a friend who is regularly working on 911, and 911 was very responsible about how they handled things, and you know, they weren't dragging people back to work too soon or anything. However, my friend didn't want to go too far out of town. They had to evacuate. They were evacuated from the Eaton fire, and he was like, "We can't travel too far just in case I get called to come back into work because we need the days. I need the days so that I can get my insurance. I need the days. I need to pay for my family." So it's not just, oh, production's still running and how could they do that? Because the truth is, the production crews are like, we have to work. Like, if I don't work, I don't get paid. So, you know, it's
exactly,
the impact is, yeah, it's not just people who have lost their homes. It's not just famous people who have lost their homes. That's another thing. Like, one of the celebrities that lost their home was Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she is the star of 911. So, of course, production is shutting down, which directly impacts 200 crew members, you know? And that's 200 families. What can you do, you know, because you're reliant on, it's the unique thing about this industry is that you are reliant in a weird way on one human being's well-being, you know? I remember a very prominent show a couple years ago where the lead actress was like, "I'm not working anymore. I'm done. I'm just not working anymore." And they had picked up the show for another season. And she was like, "I'm not coming back for it." And they canceled the show. And all those crew members that thought they had a show lined up for the season had to go find other work.
Which, that's so crazy. Yeah, it truly is. That affects thousands of jobs, which then, of course, all circles back into the economy of California, too. So you think, yep. oh, it's this one myopic thing of, oh, just this TV show, but it has legs in ways you can't even imagine where it's, yeah, those thousands of families that are connected to it. And then all those people are getting catering. And then that helps with local restaurants. And like, you know, you have to have special days of food trucks. It's so far reaching that people don't realize how big this industry is and how much it supports California. So to have this many hits is tough, which is why the tax break, when it finally gets back on its feet, would be yep. good if it gets approved, because it's double, I believe, what we initially had as a tax break, and it now would be the highest tax break in the country.
Oh, this is now what you're talking about is the film tax incentive that Los Angeles offers for people to choose to stay here and shoot in Los Angeles instead of taking yes. their productions out to Atlanta, New Mexico, overseas, which happens all the time. So, you know, Los Angeles offers a decently, well, they offered a tax incentive, but they never used to have to really incentivize people to stay in Los Angeles because everybody was already here. And now it's much, mm-hmm. it's more lucrative for people to go up to Vancouver and go out to North Carolina and go out to, Albuquerque, New Mexico, because of the tax incentives. You know, I don't know. Also now, because the air quality is probably a lot better out there than it is here right now.
That. So might yeah. as well go yeah. there. Everything else is more cost effective to go elsewhere. So hopefully this tax break gets approved. That would help immensely to get people back yeah. here, or let them stay here is the thing. A lot of like crew members and stuff live here, but then are traveling to go to work for these jobs. Yeah. Then they're away all the time too. So it'd be nice if they could actually stay where they live. Because so many people I know have just moved back home because there's been hit after hit. And they're like, I can't afford to stay here because rent here doesn't act like we haven't been working.
Truth. Truth.
Groceries don't act That's like real. We haven't been working.
That's real talk. That's yeah. real talk. Real quick before
SoCal
we move on.
Gas is like, what? Yes.
Yeah.
But before we move on, what do you guys think about Mel Gibson, John Voight, Sylvester Stallone being named
Boo.
The ambassadors to Hollywood by President Trump?
Wait, what? I had not heard this. What is this?
Did you miss that? It's all in Forbes.
I
everywhere.
Missed this. I saw this and I'm so disgusted. One, Angelina Jolie was right to cut her daddy off because he's already like the most intense, like right-wing person. But the fact that Mel Gibson is having a second chance is making me viscerally angry.
Third chance. Third chance.
Like,
I mean,
that's right. Because
people
were
mad. Quite a few times.
He's such a disgusting person to me. Like,
I feel
I
like
can't...
he never really went away.
Well, he took a little bit of time. He basically went underground for a little bit, and then he poked his head up like a little fucking meerkat and was like, "Is it safe? Can I make a film about beating Jesus's ass again?" And then just popped on back up, and here we are.
That's right.
I can't yep. stand him ever since his arrest. And also, I think voicemails that he talked to his ex-girlfriend about, where he was berating her. I'm not going to say the full thing, but he basically told her, yeah. based on how you're dressed, I hope you get raped by a pack of N-words. So fuck Mel Gibson.
Yeah, monster.
I want
Total
no part
monster.
Of him.
No.
So
and here we are,
Trump,
making him an ambassador. No,
yes, him. So is John Voight, yeah. Mel Gibson. Who's the other
Sylvester
person? Sorry.
Stone. Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone,
I didn't have beef with Sylvester. I didn't have a reason to have beef, but now I do. I think those are also the most out-of-touch people to be ambassadors for Hollywood. They're not consistently booking. Why are these the people?
And they're not shooting here. They're not in Los Angeles, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
None and of I them quote, are out here doing anything. Yeah.
And I quote, they will serve as special envoys to me, which is a weird statement. For the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much business over the last 4 years to foreign countries, back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a thing real quick. The last thing John Voight worked
Sorry.
On.
End quote.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for ending that quote. This is what we have producer Mike here for. Yeah, I am. I did not know that was happening. I feel like Hollywood should choose who the ambassadors to Hollywood are. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't know Hollywood needed ambassadors.
It's also more old men. Can we not get anyone with some lifeblood that's going to be here longer, like 5 more years, to be the advocates?
Right. state.
For Hollywood? We think that really the old boys are going to figure out with their new tricks how to do something. They're not.
No, I don't. What I do don't think. Know? I don't think. I don't think anybody wants new tricks for Hollywood. I think that they're like, we're going to go back to the old ways. We're going to, you know, we're going to do it like they used to do it back in the day when in the good old days. You know, this is all. Come on. I mean, we know what this is. This is all media. This is all a story that the media spins, a story that, you know, the Trump administration spins, and everybody does it. And everybody knows that it's a story, but it's just a really really interesting inflammatory story that they're telling just to get a rise and distract from everything else that we should be focusing on. Like are you kidding me? Ambassadors to Hollywood? Los Angeles is burning.
Right. He picks also the most unnecessary things to really dig his heels in. So being like, oh, I'm going to get ambassadors to Hollywood. I'm going to change Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. Focus on something real, my dude.
Oh, God. I forgot about the Gulf of America thing.
Like, why are we, like, putting busy work on our own plate? Like, focus on something real.
We have a lot to take care of right now.
Yeah. So, no, I don't see it for the ambassadors of Hollywood.
You know what?
Pass.
I would like to ask these ambassadors of Hollywood how they think we should, what the next steps are, how we should be proceeding forward. You know, you brought up something really interesting before we started today about the Critics' Choice Award television, or that, you know, the Critics' Choice Award show, and then like Oscars are coming up, and you know, these award shows, the award season is upon us, which is a big deal in LA. And I, for one, am like, how are you going to celebrate? How are we supposed to proceed?
Exactly. Which is interesting because so many, there's been a lot of discourse with different high profile celebrities of what to do. And I know initially I was down for it because, one, love Jean Smart. Initially her pitch was do the upcoming award shows, like Critics' Choice Awards and stuff, and instead use the money that they would get from advertising to support victims of the fire, which, beautiful. But then the counter argument was, but then that's more lack of work that production crews don't get with producing the award show to have an ends, like you said, to get insurance. So Roxana Arquette pitched to do it, but to make it a telethon.
I love that these smart and savvy women are coming out of the woodwork and being like, we have solutions. Where is this online? Is this socials, on the socials?
Yeah, all the socials. I don't splurge for live TV. So all my news, which is crazy that live TV is a splurge, but I don't splurge. Yeah, it's on a total, it.
Listen, nobody under the age of 55 is paying for live TV.
No,
unless
my cat
it's a sports
eats
package.
Exactly. My cat eats prawns, but I won't splurge for live TV.
Your cat eats. Andre Benjamin is dining, fine dining on, what is it? What do they call them? Descaled or deveined prawns.
Exactly. In a lobster consommé. Real story.
Of course.
But
Obviously. This is from the vegan. The vegan is like,
oh yeah, all the animals are being consumed by mine in my house.
only the most expensive of animals are to be consumed by Andre Benjamin.
Exactly. So yeah, that.
Love that. I love Roxana Arquette. I love Jean Smart coming out and just saying, let's find a way to raise some more funding. You know, I mean, the thing that I found so interesting about what I'm learning about the Altadena fire, which is also called the Eaton fire, is the community, the Black community that moved there, was it in the 60s? And now it's like one of the largest mixed race communities in Los Angeles? Or not even in Los Angeles, it might be in the state of California, right?
Yeah, in California. So like when settlers first started coming over west and everything, Altadena was the first area that allowed Black people and brown people to own homes as opposed to other parts of California and Southern California specifically. Right. So yeah, so all a lot of the houses that were burned there, the communities there, were generational houses passed down, which is always a big deal in the Black community. Because I mean, you watch any movie of ours. It's usually people fighting over keeping a house in the family. Like, that's a big deal. So having that, that's usually the main asset that gets passed down, and it's very important about keeping land in a community. So the fact that all of Altadena is gone, that's generations of loss. It's crazy. But I will say Walk Good LA, which was started by Cheryl Lee Ralph's son, is doing a really great job of collecting GoFundMes for people specifically of Altadena that were victims of the Eden Fire, and keeping a list of that and helping those communities specifically.
There's not a ton of silver lining to be found in what's happening around Los Angeles right now, but just even learning a little bit more about the history of that area has been really, I mean, I had no idea. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. I have to say, if you haven't seen any of the imagery of these cities that have been like laid waste from the fires, it's worth Googling. It looks like a war zone. One of the things that's happening is it's impacted the air quality, but it's impacting air quality in a way that people, you can't tell. It looks beautiful out. It's not like a weird haze or anything over the city. There is ash still everywhere, but the breathing is still pretty dangerous because of all the houses that have burned and the asbestos in the air and the lead in the air. And that's something that air quality doesn't measure. Like the whatever tools they use to measure the air quality is not, that doesn't take in like what happens if houses are burning around you. Or other buildings. It's not just houses. There's schools and community buildings and such that have burnt too. I'm getting a lot of education specifically in this time. It's just been a hell of a week. 10 days, week and a half.
Yeah, it really has. Right? Because it started. My gosh. I feel like we've lived so many lives since it started burning, but community people coming together is beautiful, and also still people doing things to take care of themselves or mental health for those who are fortunate enough to have a home and different things still. I mean, self-care shows up in very different ways. I mean, I went and saw Mufasa because I just wanted to hear Aaron Pierre's voice for an hour and a half. You do what you can.
You know my go-to traitor. For coping. Oh,
traitor? Wait, what?
Wait, why?
I am very, The Lion King is like one of my favorite animated movies of like all time, like without fail. So the live action is just blasphemous for me. And so then they had the nerve to go make Mufasa, which even pissed me off even more. Those two movies are terrible.
It helps, Mufasa, right?
Do you hear what they did to my boy James Earl Jones, RIP James Earl Jones? In The Lion King, he sounds tired. He doesn't even sound like Mufasa. He sounds tired. Go watch the original Lion King and then watch the live action. I'm like, man, they dragged this man out of retirement and everything. He sounds tired.
He was sleeping.
It made me so mad. I was so mad in that theater. I'm sorry, I had to go on that tangent when you said you went to support that blasphemous movie.
I went to support Aaron. You're not listening.
I mean, shout out to Aaron. He's going to be the new. He's going to be the new Jon Stewart.
John Stewart.
Wait, who?
Jonathan Majors?
No. Aaron Pierre is going to be the new John Stewart in Lanterns. Green Lantern? He's the new Green Lantern John Stewart in the new TV show. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I was like, he's going to host The Daily Show?
Wow.
Mike is more plugged into pop culture than all of us.
No, I'm just a huge nerd.
I have no idea.
And Green Lantern is literally my favorite superhero, John Stewart. It's tattooed on my body.
My brain has only been fires and Aaron Pierre is Mufasa. That's all my brain is. I'm sorry.
I did see a picture of him. He's very handsome.
He's too fine.
I can't stand by that.
He's so fine.
He's beautiful. He's a beautiful man, Mike. Come on, Mike. Come on. We've seen The Lion King, okay? It's time for
Thank you. I've seen The Lion King. I love it. Yes.
That man will only have my forgiveness when I see him in the first frame of Lanterns on HBO Max. That's when he will have my forgiveness. But until then, I will hate him as hot as the sun.
You can love him because I also, Jess can confirm, I put him when they said put people like ideal casting in your pitch deck. He's in the pitch deck for Smiling Faces. I wanted him to play the boyfriend.
Maybe a bit of a superstar. This yeah. might be tough. This might be a tough reach. Now.
Might be a tough get.
Now that I had him in mind before treasure.
He blew the fuck up.
Damn it, Aaron. Why you leave had to be successful. You have good taste. What can we say? She got good taste, Mike. She got good taste. Exactly. I have not. See, this is the thing. I haven't seen, the only movie I've seen is Wicked. I saw it twice in 2 days. Worth every second. I would see it every day in the theaters. It's phenomenal. I think it's the best movie I've ever seen. But I was a fan of the story. I read the book long before they made it a musical. I saw the musical several times. A huge fan. That's the first movie that I've seen since Dune. So, you know, Victoria goes and sees movies. I work out. Yes.
I'll slip in a workout. Yeah, because you're okay. I feel like we should also, since New Year, self-care, all the things.
Yes.
You do like weightlifting. Like you're like beast mode.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Well, that's also beast mode. We know that's also beast mode. It's just in a different way beast mode. And Mike like rages about Mufasa.
Exactly. We all have things that get our heart rate up.
That's right. Weightlifting is, I have to tell you, ever since I started weightlifting, everything changed for me. The way I moved through the world changed. And women, especially women of a certain age, but all women, first of all, the gyms are full of women now. We're safe. Come on out to the gyms, ladies. It's fine. You're safe. You're totally fine. We put on our headphones. We keep our head down. And if anybody talks to us, we just snarl at them. That's how we're handling it in the gyms. But I do also have to say, like, with the weightlifting, all I did was I focused on glutes, quads, hamstrings, and my lats, my back. And when I changed those four things, and by the way, easy to do, four body parts, biggest muscles in your body. When I started focusing on that, everything got better. I started eating better, and not just because I was working out, but because I needed to fuel these big muscles that I was burning so much. But also walking through the world with some strength gave me even more confidence, if that's possible. I already walk through the world pretty confidently. But I also have to say, change my posture. And I started to learn like about what happens to your bones as you get older. Your bones get more brittle. They're just not as strong because we lose calcium in them. I don't really know. I'm not a doctor, but I was learning that when you're lifting these big weights, when you lift big, heavy weights, it fortifies your bones, makes them stronger because, well, I won't get into it because I'm not over here trying to have like a health podcast. I'm just saying, you know, that I will scream about lifting weights at the gym all day long. Lunges, squats, lat pull down, you know, where you're just like bringing the bar down to your chest, like, anything that's getting those glutes, hamstrings, quads, and your lats, you're going to change your life. I will rant on and on about this. You know, I'm crazy for it.
Yeah. Whoa. The deep love of weightlifting.
Yeah. It changed my life. And, you know, there's a lot of fear around it. You're literally just start picking things up. You know how to squat. And if you don't know how to squat, I don't know, maybe we can do some videos. We'll, you know, we can send out some like pretty straightforward videos. And you could go online and Google every workout, every single exercise.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you how to do it safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say proper form. I was like, I wouldn't say tell people to go just be lifting things.
No.
You want some proper form.
But the form is pretty, once you kind of get an idea of it, the form is always like, it's always like, don't let your knees cross over the front of your toes. Make sure that your back is flat. Make sure that your butt's sticking out. Make sure that your core is tight. Like, it's almost always the same thing. I just can't recommend it enough. Yeah.
Like, but just you're from doing watching.
Oh, Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying literally just from watching, I was like, you say, oh yeah, it's so obvious, the form. But just last night, I went to a Legree class with one of our senior instructors. And
you should tell everybody what Legree is. You should tell them.
Oh, fair. So I do Legree Pilates instead of regular Pilates. So there's reformer Pilates and there's Legree. So reformer Pilates is kind of what you typically see on the more wooden machines, and it's low intensity on the heart and low impact on the joints. Legree is high intensity and then low impact on the joints. So still safe for bones, ligaments, everything and joints, but it gets your heart rate up a lot more because you're doing more intense moves. So you're getting deep into muscles, but it's a lot of core work. So it's a lot of, the machine's different. You're on a mega former and you're doing like planks where you're doing these tiny little movements, like sawing your body and holding your abs and crunching into a thing that's called catfish. That is the bane of my existence.
you dream about
but
it.
Watching,
what is this called?
Legree. So
Pilates? That's probably some of the most LA shit I've ever heard in my life.
Well, in between that, I go and get red light therapy. So that's my most LA.
Never
thing
mind.
You've heard.
I'm sorry. That tops it.
And also, not to mention your acai berry hemp smoothies. Hello.
Thank you. Exactly, with ashwagandha.
Excuse you. Obviously.
Now it's a full circle LA conversation. Yeah.
Yes, we've brought it back. We brought it back. Got
to get Georgia girl becomes full LA right here on the podcast.
Oh no, the way that my Georgia friends got very concerned because I forget what was happening, but in my group chat with my friends back in Atlanta, they were talking about, "Oh my gosh, this is so wrong and this is so wrong." And my only contribution was, "Has anyone got eyes on the moon? What's happening?"
I need to charge my crystals, basically, is what you said to them.
Where are we at in the cycle? Is this a new or a full? Are we on a new or a full moon? I'm just trying to remember which ritual to do tonight.
Completely.
Yeah.
That was my contribution. I was like, something's up with the moon. It's got to be. Look outside your window.
Anybody got eyes up? I have to tell you, when I was in Mexico, so I went to Mexico over the holidays with my childhood best friend, and I grew up in Michigan, very rural Michigan, and I, very conservative, very buttoned up. And when I was in Mexico, I had a lot of two pieces. We talked about this ice cream sorbet.
Yeah. Sherbert.
Yeah.
The Sherbert fit. Yeah.
My Fabletics yoga, yoga pants and sports bra. My friend, my childhood friend who I love, and she also listens to this podcast, so she's probably going to call me out on this. She was like, "You're like basically full-blown nudist. LA has changed you." Because I show my midriff and I like wear sports bras out in public. And I'm like, actually, that's just the fashion.
Yeah, I was like, no, I wouldn't call that nudist. Now, if you're walking around with nipple clamps, I'd go, Jess, can I see you for a second?
In my office, please.
To them, that's naked, man. Like, they live in Michigan. They're clothed for most of the year. Like,
it's too cold to go along showing your midriff.
Honestly.
They wear jeans and three coats for most of the year. They're not out here letting the abs fly.
No. They were. She was like, "You are a nearly nude." She's like, "You're full blown. You just like have a naked lifestyle now." And I honestly, I was like, I thought I just looked cute. Like, I didn't think I was like naked. Like this,
and did
I could be more naked? Like my butt cheeks aren't even hanging out.
Listen, don't test me. We can let the skin fly.
I'm happy to take more off. Like, I have no problem. And there's nothing but body positivity. That's the other thing in Michigan. You know, you can't.
A lot of shame.
So much body shaming, so much body, and that's why they just like keep covering up in more layers and more layers. And in LA is just like, look, if you've got it, flaunt it. You have a body that makes you beautiful, you know. And there's no exception to that. There's no asterisk. Like, everybody's a beautiful body. Everybody's a bikini body. That is not how they feel in Michigan. So, yeah. Turns out that I'm a nearly nude now. Because I wear two pieces.
And
it was beautiful,
it
though. It was like a nice reminder, you know, of like, oh, I have changed in LA, you know, and I like it. It's better. My life is so much better now that I don't care and I wear what I want to wear. I remember when I first moved here, I asked my friend, another friend who had been living here for a few years and also moved from the Midwest. And I said, I just never know what to wear. And he was like, you can wear anything you want. Just wear it with confidence. And it's
that's
so
real
true.
Talk. That is
truly.
Real effing talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear whatever mm-hmm. you want in LA and you just have to wear it with confidence. You have to own it. Mm-hmm. I've seen some crazy shit out here, y'all. And
probably
I'm still
on
a newbie.
My ass.
I've only I don't see you wearing a lot of juicy sweatpants. Like
not recently, but it's making a comeback. Juicy Couture is coming back, guys.
It is. I saw that. It's yep. making the rounds again, which a little bit hurt my feelings because a friend back home, one of my best friends, Rachel, sent me a Halloween costume she saw that was called Millennial Outfit, and it was a knockoff of a Juicy Couture outfit for in spirit Halloween, and it hurt my feelings so bad. But also, Juicy Couture is coming back, and I'm glad that I kept. I'm not going to wear it because I think my time is gone. But I can't be doing that anymore. But
it's coming back. You could
but
do
I
it.
Kept,
no,
I kept tough. All of my Juicy Couture because I remember being upset at my mom, well, really my grandmother, because she got rid of so many clothes that my mom wore and like all these peak fashion moments of like 60s, 70s, 80s, all this stuff. So I was like, I'm not going to do that to my future child, God willing, that's frozen right now. So I've been keeping
your little frozen
exactly.
eggs.
It's exactly what an egg from Beverly Hills would wear is juicy on her ass.
Thank you. Exactly. So I have a bunch of stuff like that in a vacuum bag under my bed right now. Because I'm like, when my child's older, she's going to be like, Mom, what did you wear in 2002? I'll be like, strap in, baby. We got Juicy Couture. We got weird shearling jackets. We got silky camisoles with a lace top from R&B. We got
low rider jeans that were way too wide leg.
J-Lo collection with the suede tie for the low, low hip.
Stop.
Also a denim mini skirt from Abercrombie and Fitch that'll make you wonder, did mom cover anything?
Nothing. We were out there
the
nearly
no.
nude.
Nearly nude is back, baby.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, on that, I have to ask then, what is, it's our, it's come to that point. One of our favorite parts of the show is our smiling faces moment. This is a moment where you have grinned and bared through something tragic and frustrating and obnoxious. What is a smiling faces moment that you've had this week, Victoria?
Mine was just this morning, which I'm still in the throes of technically. I was rushing out of the house to head to work, and I saw my sweet baby angel, Andre Benjamin, playing with something around the house, and I didn't know what it was, but I was running late, so I ran to take it from him, and it was my menstrual cup.
No!
Oh my God.
So I have to buy a new one.
Burn it. Burn it and start again. Burn it and start again. That has released that back into the wild for him. He has himself a new cat toy.
It's no longer for me.
You
that
think
as
you
a cat mom and pet parent is like your kids walking in on you and your husband or you and your wife having sex. That's it right there. Your cat playing 100%. With the menstrual cup. That right
you
there.
Think, You think you're like, ah, I'm beating the system. I have a silicone-based menstrual cup, which, by the way, cannot stand by hard and loud enough. Like, you go full-blown menstrual cup. Ladies, if you're still out there using tampons, run.
Please don't do
Get
it.
Out.
Yeah.
No, dump them. Dump them.
It doesn't matter it doesn't matter they're organic cotton. It doesn't matter.
No. They're all terrible
for
you.
Get out of there.
Dump your tampons. Go buy 3 menstrual cups. Put one in your car. Take one to work. Put one in your purse. Have one everywhere. You never want to be caught, you know.
In your car. Honestly, though, that is a good pro tip, because I was definitely on set once, and we were on location, and I started my period, and I had to Postmates a box of Tampax. To set.
Oh, God. I have to tell you, like, the other, like, one, that's a nightmare. 2, once you get a menstrual cup, you never want to touch another tampon again. You're like, how have I lived my life? So we can go on and on about this. So, yes. I'll stay in the realm here, but
I was born a boy. Thank God.
Trust
Count
me.
Your blessings.
Yep.
Thank God. I can pee anywhere and I don't have to worry about menstrual cycles.
That.
Well, you do, just for different reasons.
I'm not bleeding, like, every month. I'm okay with that.
How much chocolate is in your house is a very important question during those times. Don't let Lucy down. Yeah, what's your smiley faces moment, Mike?
We had to buy a new battery for Betty White this week. It was not exactly happy. $440 later.
What? Why was your battery so expensive?
Betty,
that's too much.
Batteries are expensive as hell. Have y'all looked? No. Wait till your battery dies.
Oh, yeah. They are about $400 now that I think about it. Yeah.
No. Betty White. No. Hold on.
No,
yeah,
car
ahead,
battery. Clarify Betty White, because I, too, was lost for a second. And I realized, car
not
battery.
Not the real Betty White.
I was like, do you have a sex doll? That's
yes.
Betty White?
Yes. I have a sex doll named Betty White. And I hump her every Wednesday.
And when the batteries die, it's a $440 battery. What you don't know about sex dolls is how expensive they are to keep
charged.
They
are. I got all the wrinkles from Betty. Every one of them.
That's the fine print they don't tell you.
See me after class. Stop spending $440 on car batteries. I've got you. Okay? All right? I have a hookup.
That's like Grub Man from Martin.
Got a guy.
The CD guy in a barbershop.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The bootleg guy. Yeah. Everybody got
who
a bootleg.
Who are you buying
guy.
Here?
It is half juiced, but I do have a battery.
Listen, I get all my car batteries from Russians, and it's $125. At most, okay, and that includes installation. So see me after class. What? Yeah, okay. $440 is insane. Do not be paying that for. Take that battery back and come see me.
I want to see the battery first.
Yeah, can we have confirmation the batteries were not taken directly out of someone else's car?
No. Why do you need that confirmation? What are you going to do with that confirmation? What do you care? It's a new battery in your car, okay?
It's yours now.
If it's in your car, who cares where it came from before, okay? It's fine. Don't think about it too deeply.
Says the white girl to the black man.
You had a need and I took care of it for you.
Hey, Mike, put this hot battery into your car. Nothing will happen to you. Next thing you know, I'm in jail. And who do I have to blame? Jess. And some weird Russian
never,
that she met on the side never, of the road.
Never. I would never have you in jail.
Mike is going to be in the police station. And they're going to be like this. Explain to me where you For those listening at home, I turn my ring light to the camera.
I got it from my friend Jess. She's a white lady.
She said it was okay. She's a white lady and she knew this Russian. I thought it was on the up and up, sir.
They're like, that's only for her. we can let her free, not you.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Rules. You're right. Now you go pay $440 for your battery like all the other people out there, okay?
Oh, my cheeks hurt.
Well, I'm happy that you got a new battery for Betty White. Congratulations. I'm glad that the old girl's running again.
That's right.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess? Your smiling faces moment?
Well, I think I'd be remiss in my duties if I didn't say that not only did I get food poisoning in Mexico, come straight home, experience devastating wildfires, and then catch a horrific virus that once completed, after it knocked me out for 4 days of just like trying not to evacuate and also trying to just stay in bed for 4 days, I wake up on Monday morning covered head to toe in some kind of like red viral reaction. My whole body turned red, and apparently this is very common in children, so to all my mothers out there, you know what I'm talking about. After your kids get sick, then your body has a terrible reaction and turns red if you are a child, and that is what I have grinned and bared through.
I want to be very clear, we're not smiling at the fires part. Victoria and I, we are definitely smiling at Jess being sick 3 weeks, like every 3 weeks here.
It was horrific. And I grinned and bared through it because I was like, well, I mean, I've been like, my fingertips have been burning and itching. Like from the forehead to the bottom of my feet have been like red and just red. I've been a tomato for a week. So this is me grinning and bearing it through the misery, the pain. And apparently it's something that really just only happens to children. So I'm dealing with that this week with joy in my heart.
You forgot about the scabies and the rickets and the consumption.
the consumption. Going in for my TB shot next week, guys.
give her the full battery. Full battery of tests.
We're trying to get a full write-up. I feel like you've got a standing pad, a doctor's pad, just like whatever she wants.
Yeah, go ahead. Another prescription. I've been on steroids for like a week now, which, by the way, makes you very hungry. Which is nice because I hadn't had an appetite in weeks. So.
Brazilian fever. You only get this in the Amazon.
How did that happen? We cured polio. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Well, it's a medical marvel.
It's me. If it can be caught, I'll be catching it. And if you're looking to catch something this week, please try and catch us on our socials. You can find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series, TikTok at smilingfaces_series, Facebook at smilingfaces_series, YouTube at www.youtube.com/@smilingfaces_series. We have a website, www.smilingfacesseries.com, where you can go ahead and click on that big, huge, green Contribute Now button and be a part of Smiling Faces, the pilot television show.
Yeah, shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and producer Mike Bryant of Defiantly Me Productions. Have a good one, guys.